Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We are in our series, 9-week series, The Spirit-Led Life. So this is week 4. We've spent 3 weeks, 3 incredible weeks of speaking on, our speakers have been speaking on our communion with the Father. And so it's been amazing. If you've missed those weeks, you can get them on the podcast, and make sure you do. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on how the Spirit leads us inwards. Inwards is what our focus is, and into transformation in Jesus. Is that good? Awesome. So a couple of weeks ago, I preached on our union with God and what it means to be in Christ. We have been justified once and for all, forgiven, and declared right standing before God because of what Jesus has done for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, "But you were cleansed, you were made holy, you were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So we have been washed and we've been justified. Someone excited about that? Come on. Let's never get apathetic about what God has done for us. Then this leads us to a life of sanctification. And so in simple terms, it's a big word, sanctification means being set apart by God to become holy. So sanctification is a lifelong, ongoing process where God works through the Holy Spirit to help a person turn away from sin and grow more like Jesus in their everyday thoughts, their character, and their actions. We see in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." Is that good news or what? It's amazing. So this change or transformation doesn't come from our human effort or our willpower alone, but directly from the Lord, who is the Holy Spirit. And growth happens in stages. A person becomes more like Jesus day by day, moving forward, increasing in spiritual maturity. So how does the Spirit make us more like Jesus? We're going to dig into Ephesians. We've got two big passages today, Ephesians 4, 21 to 32, and then we're going to jump into Ephesians 1, 5, 1 to 20. But we're going to move through one passage at a time. So we're going to read Ephesians 4, 21 to 32. That will hopefully come up on the screen behind me. And so basically, Paul at the beginning of this chapter is speaking about unity in the body, and he's speaking of growing in maturity. And then he describes the mindset of the surrounding culture. He describes those who are not saved. He refers to them as Gentiles, as darkened in understanding, as hard-hearted and separated from God's life due to ignorance. They don't know. And so that's where we pick up the story in verse 21. Ephesians 4, yep. So 21 to 32, it says, "Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off," someone say throw off, "your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead," someone say instead, "let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And do not sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead," someone say instead, "use your hands for good hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, someone say instead. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Wow. Amen, amen. So the first thing, my first point is, let the Spirit renew. It starts from this foundation. If we look from here, he's talking about people in the culture, people that don't know God. But it says, since you have heard about Jesus, it starts from this foundation of hearing about Jesus and having learned the truth. And Paul, who's writing this to this church, has personal experience with this church. So he knows that this church has been taught the truth about Jesus. They've been taught the truth about how to live as a follower of Jesus. And when we hear, you know, someone who has learned and someone who has heard about Jesus, it sounds very simple. But this is not just speaking to someone who heard about Jesus one time, but describes a turning away from a life that has no knowledge of Jesus to a transformed life in Jesus by having learned the truth that is in Him. So here we begin to see the work of sanctification that the Holy Spirit wants to empower us in. We are to throw off the old sinful nature and a former way of life. How? We throw it off by letting the Spirit. Someone say, letting the Spirit. We let the Spirit renew us. We give our yes for the Spirit to renew us. In other versions, it's said to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And you know, when we let the Spirit renew our thoughts and attitudes, it doesn't just change our thoughts, our opinions, and our belief. The Holy Spirit causes change to happen deep within our minds, which has a flow-on effect, and it changes how we think and what we think about. In simplest terms, it changes our way of thinking, which then transforms our inner life and how we see and approach everything. You know, Paul says this in Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is essentially saying here that his former self, the person he was before he heard and learned the truth about Jesus, came to an end. He died. Yeah, his former self died. It is no longer I who live. For Paul, it means that instead of his own passions, instead of his own dreams or goals and ideas directing his life, Christ who lives in him now directs and empowers all that he does. This is the beautiful, holy collaboration, the unified work of the Holy Spirit and us that makes our sanctification possible. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit isn't just encountered in a moment. Like today, we encountered the Holy Spirit. It was glorious. But he's our helper for our whole lives. And it's so important we distinguish this, the unified work of sanctification, from behavior modification. Behavior modification is an outside-in process. It's focused on trying to change behavior from the outside through rules and rewards. Yeah? But sanctification is an inside-out process. It's only possible through our letting the Holy Spirit's power and empowerment. So throw off your old sinful nature. Put on your new nature that is created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, as followers of Jesus, we know we can't change ourselves. Who's tried? I've tried. We need to let the Spirit renew our thoughts and attitudes. Through the Spirit, we can put on our new nature that is created to be like God. This is likened to throwing off old clothes from our old life and putting on new clothes fitted to this new life. So when we step into life with Jesus, our old life just doesn't fit quite right anymore. For example, it wouldn't make any sense for someone who's been released from prison to continue wearing their prison clothes, no longer being in prison. Yeah? This is what Paul is saying. We throw off the old life because it's ill-fitting. It just doesn't fit right anymore. So justification changes our permanent standing before God, but sanctification is the ongoing, lifelong wrestle against the power and the presence of sin. Yeah? We need the Holy Spirit to stop sinning and to become like Jesus. So then Paul lists some things that are practical for every believer in how to throw off the old sinful nature. And so we see verse 25, it's very practical. Stop telling lies, tell the truth. You know, as humans, we're prone to be duplicitous, to be of two minds, to be of two natures. And I feel like this is what Paul is saying. Be congruent, be honest, because we are in Christ. So as a follower of Christ, it's important to wear truth. Lying stops feeling right when we're in Christ. We get convicted even over a hint of a lie. And lies also break trust on multiple levels. So it breaks trust in our relationship with the Lord. But if you think about friendships, relationships, community, our church community, it breaks trust. And truth keeps relationships healthy and it keeps relationships strong. Yeah, we're going to go through these a little bit quickly because of time. Don't sin by letting anger control you. This is speaking to an anger that is selfish, that is uncontrolled, and an anger that does not relent. So here we're given a timeline. Don't you love God? He gives us a timeline for our anger. Don't let the sun go down while you were still angry. Because though anger is a human emotion, and we all feel it, it is one that can bring destruction. And if left lingering, it can bring bitterness. And it gives what it says, the enemy a foothold. On the other hand, there is a righteous anger. Righteous anger mirrors God's own grief and a position to evil, injustice, and sin. And while unrighteous anger is marked by personal offense, by our ego and our pride, righteous anger is marked by deep concern for holiness, humility, and love for others. And this is what God wants to grow in us. However, we can't grow in righteous anger if we're full of unrighteous anger, anger that is controlling us. Yeah? If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and be generous. In other words, instead of cheating away to wealth, to money, a short-term approach that rarely works out well, we should work hard to earn a living and then, doesn't just stop there, be generous with what we have earned. And there is an element here of being honest as well, telling the truth, living honestly before the Lord. And as always, Paul describes how we should live as followers of Jesus in terms of how we can help others, how we can bless others and be generous. The next one, don't use foul or abusive language. Instead, share words of encouragement. You know, I'm sure we've all heard it, especially if you've, you know, been in Australia for a while. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never hurt me. Who's heard that? Yeah? It's not true. We all know that's not true. Words carry weight. Words create worlds. So let us not be fooled. What we say, what comes out of our mouth matters. Yes? So I always say to my kids, one thing we can never take back are our words. Once they're out there, you can never put them back. And in our new nature, we put on encouragement instead, speaking life and building people up. Is everyone with me still? Okay, don't bring sorrow. Do not grieve, other translations say, to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Understanding our new life in Christ that Paul describes in Ephesians means living in a way that honors the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Remember, the Holy Spirit's not an impersonal force. He's a person. And just like any other members of the Godhead, he can grieve. We can bring sorrow to him. The Holy Spirit cares about us. And so when we don't live according to God's standards, it grieves him because he knows our choices. They can hurt us and they can hurt others. And so the sorrow or grieving of the Holy Spirit in this context comes from neglecting our sanctification. when we live in a way that is opposite to what we have learned, what we have heard, what we have learned the truth of in Jesus. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. And then Paul reminds us who the Holy Spirit is and how important he is in a believer's life. He seals us and he keeps us until the day of redemption. Yes? And the last thing, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. It's all lumped in there. We know what he's referring to, yeah? So all these things impact others in terrible ways. But you know what I would say? They are just, if not more, poisonous to us. Yeah? So here we clearly see it's a changing out of one life, replacing with another. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. You know, all these things are easy to do, being kind and tender-hearted, until we experience situations where that's challenged. You know, sometimes it's easier not to forgive. Yeah, forgiveness is a really tricky area that we're all growing in, all of us. But then Paul compels us with this motivation. And it's truly the motivation we should have in forgiving others. Forgive others in Christ, because in Christ, God forgave us, you, me. So in all these things, we throw off the old self and we put on the new nature. And they obviously glorify and they honor God because we're living in the way that he wants us to live. But they're also just good for us. They're also really good for us to live an abundant life. Yes, are you with me? Okay, we're going to go to our next big passage in Ephesians 5:1-20. Okay, follow along. It should be there on the screen. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talks, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understanding what the Lord wants you to do. Almost done. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm aware that there's a lot in these passages, so I really encourage you to go home and read them and meditate on them. My second point is this. First one is we have to let the Holy Spirit renew us, and then we imitate God in everything we do because we are his dear children. Yes, it's interesting that it doesn't say think about God or admire God, all things we should be doing, but Paul is calling us to action. It's a verb. It's an action word. Again, our sanctification is not just, oh, we, you know, kind of, you know, are saved and then we don't do anything. It's the unified work of us and the Holy Spirit, yes? As dear children, children are great imitators. And I remember working from home during the pandemic, and Judah was three. I was not on staff. I was working for another organization. And I would start my day on the kitchen bench going through emails and planning calls I had to do that day. And Judah, every time I would start my day like this, I would only work 3 days a week with this organization. He would come with his play laptop. I've got a photo. I think Matt will put it up. Thanks, Matt. He would come with his like play laptop. Yeah. And he would just sit there, and he had a play phone, and that when I would make calls, he would go into the other room and imitate me on the phone. And it was so cute. It was like I was seeing myself through his eyes, and I would just laugh. I thought it was the cutest thing. Like, it's the cutest thing. And imagine, I just thought, you know, imagine when he says, imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Imagine what it does to the heart of God when we imitate him as his dear children. Like, that's just a glimpse. You all were delighted by that, right? Just, oh, how cute. I think that's, you know, that's just a glimpse of what it does to the heart of God as we imitate him. You know, he adopted us and he made us his children. Considering that he is God and he's perfect and he's asking us to imitate him, there's no chance, no chance we could ever do it in our flesh, out of our sheer will. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. And you know what? Surely we will fail and we'll get it wrong. But over time, as we imitate him, we are increasingly transformed into his likeness. Not perfectly. I want everyone to hear this. Not perfectly, but progressively. Yeah? Not perfectly, but progressively. Tripping up does not mean failure. Rather, God's grace provides patience for us in our spiritual growth. But we do need to be moving forward. Being stuck is not the way forward either, or not doing anything at all seemingly. Progressively, not perfectly. We're called to live a life filled with love, filled with Jesus himself, following his example. And his example is what it says, that he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice to us, a pleasing aroma to God. Number three. So first one is we have to let the Holy Spirit renew us. Second, imitate God. Third, live as people of the light. Because of our right standing with God, like we said before, I said before, there are things that no longer fit us as children of God. Sexual immorality, impurity, greed, coarse jokes. And you know, it goes further and it says, you can be sure that no immoral, impure or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God. And just in case you were wondering, and of God. It's like real, like these are things we need to pay close attention to. It's like in Matthew when it tells us, you must become like little children or else you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yes? And so if we have been saved and we're in relationship with Jesus, the less comfortable we become having sin in areas of our lives. So the point isn't avoid things. The point isn't avoid sexual immorality, impurity or greed so you can become holy. No, we're justified. It is you are holy, so live like you are holy. Yet there's a shift there. It's not we stay away from, no, live like you are holy because you are holy. You know, verse 8 says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you only produces what is good and right and true. It's okay to walk in certain ways when we were in the darkness, but now we have light from the Lord. So essentially, Paul is saying there is no real excuse for us as to remain in our ways and not grow more like Jesus over time. Because if we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and to change us and form us, this light only, someone say only, produces what is good and right and true. You know, we know Galatians 5:16-25, the fruit of the Spirit. It teaches us if we walk by the Spirit, then we'll be transformed by his power. And these things, the work of the flesh, all these things that we mentioned, will be transformed by his power. All these things will diminish in our lives. And then the fruit of the Spirit will emerge. When the Spirit works in our lives, our character changes. It's a natural byproduct of walking, being in step with the Spirit. We are filled with love, joy, peace, patience, yet goodness, kindness. Another way to say it is that the power of the Holy Spirit sanctifies us to make us more and more holy. If you claim to walk by the Holy Spirit but are not characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, we need the Lord to transform our lives. Because you know what? We can't fake the Spirit with the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's a natural byproduct that comes. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Verse 10, there is a contrast when we're looking across both of these passages. The old life and the new life, yes? In the old life, we are more so looking at what pleases us. You know, when we're in darkness, our flesh, and in our new nature, we are to carefully determine what pleases the Lord. It's a shift. And this is why getting into the Word is so crucial for us. How do we know what pleases the Lord? We get into our Word and we know. How do we know what pleases the Lord? We pray for Him to continually open our eyes more and more to what pleases Him. And so if we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, then we're able to live a life that is pleasing to God day by day. Some days are going to be harder than others, of course, but we never want to excuse our sin because there is grace. Sometimes we misuse the grace God's given us. And I truly believe the key is the honor and the reverence and the worth we attribute to Jesus. You know, like we did today when we worshiped Him, but with our lives, because our whole lives are worship. Sometimes we go, oh yeah, this part of my life on a Sunday is worship, or when I put on a worship song. It's our whole lives that are worship to Jesus. And so, thanks, Steph. As we walk as children of the light, our very lives expose the darkness. And so not only do our light-filled lives expose the darkness, but they transform the darkness. That's a power of God. That's a power of the Holy Spirit. So be careful how you live, the Word says. How we live is our choice. God has given us free will. But we either live with the Holy Spirit guiding us or we live outside of His guiding. And so if we are in step with the Spirit, we walk in wisdom and we know what He wants us to do. I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Fourth point. So first is we let the Spirit. Second, we imitate God. Third, live as people of the light. And fourth, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Paul warns us against losing our self-control through excess alcohol that can lead to impaired judgment and destruction. And instead urges us believers to be continually guided and controlled by God's Holy Spirit, which brings what? Sound judgment and peace. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's not a one-time event. We live off the rest of our lives of a constant filling, asking to be filled, receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith. And so a Spirit-filled life is marked by worship and gratitude. This is the evidence that we're living a Spirit-led life. So, you know, today we might feel great. Oh, we feel like, yeah, we're in the river. We're, you know, in the Holy Spirit. But tomorrow might be a different thing. It's a constant filling. We're asking the Holy Spirit to fill us. Receiving the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith. You know, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making music and giving thanks. These are all things that we also do individually in our lives. But in this passage, it
you know, Paul also describes what happens when we gather together as the church in worship. You know, if we find ourselves feeling distant from the Spirit, we should repent. We should turn away from what we're doing and join in with other believers to worship and in the life of the church. Sin, we know, can hinder our fellowship, our communion with the Spirit. And so sometimes just being in the room on a Sunday in a community of believers, it places us in a posture of openness for the Holy Spirit to work in us. How many experience that today? And so it's both. It's individually the Holy Spirit. It's just a byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit that our language becomes singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and making music and giving thanks. That's what bubbles over when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And it bubbles over when we come together. It is so special. The Holy Spirit fills His people as we worship, as we encourage, and as we give thanks together. And so we need the Holy Spirit for our ongoing sanctification, to allow Him to renew our thoughts and our attitudes, to imitate God as dear children, to actually live as people of the light, and to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand this moment. Why don't you close your eyes and posture yourself before the Lord this morning? Isaiah 55, 1 says, 1 and 2. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come and take your choice. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good and enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen and you will find life. Come and drink. I felt so strongly the invitation of the Holy Spirit for us this morning. You might feel like, man, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm filled to the brink. I'm doing great. But as I was praying for this message and for today, I really felt that there are some people that just barely made it here. There are some people in this room that are feeling pretty hopeless. Maybe you don't even know why you came today. But there are no coincidences in Jesus. And I believe the Holy Spirit is in this place and He wants to fill us all. No matter if you're empty, you might feel like you're in a barren place. There's a drought happening in your life spiritually. Or you're like knee deep, you're like shoulder deep in the river. But you want more. You know what? There is always more. There is always more. So we're going to worship. We're going to worship in a little bit. But I want us to pray. Every person in this place, arms stretched out. If you're wanting to be filled, if you're a follower of Jesus, that should be every hand raised in this place, yeah? If you're wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's four words. We're going to pray. Four words. You know the words, we prayed them at the beginning. We're going to pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. For Him to come, it doesn't need my eloquent prayer. It doesn't need anything. We need to let. open our heart, pull down the walls that we've built up, take off the mask maybe that we've come in with. He's here and it's safe to do so. And just let. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Why don't you pray that? Why don't you pray that across the room? Come, Holy Spirit, come. And we're going to worship this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.